Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Good. Turn up your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Appreciate again our special music and the blessing. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Began this morning, again, preaching on our theme verse, or at least leading up to our theme verse. Again, found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. If you look with me in verse 1, it says, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And again, we're not going to get to verse 5, but again, there's Paul saying, turn away from these things. Turn away from these things. And I'm going to give you three or four of the words tonight, and then we'll pick back up on it in a few weeks and preach this, continue to preach this whole chapter as we talk again about continuing in these times. We live in perilous times. We do. We live in times that are dangerous, but we need to continue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. We pray that you, Lord, just to continue to work in our lives as we seek to be a light in the midst of darkness. Lord, help us to be that example that we ought to be to our neighbors and friends and co-workers and family. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writing again to Timothy, his last will and testament. Paul is now in prison. He's not under house arrest anymore, but actually in prison and under the sentence of death, and soon will be executed. Paul writes to encourage Timothy. He encourages him there in chapters 2, 2 Timothy 2. He says, Thou therefore, verse 3, it says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. But he encourages Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. He encourages Timothy, as we already read there in chapter 3, verse 14, to continue. And we are encouraged to do the same today. That applies to us today, that we are living in this perilous times and these dangerous times, and we need to continue. We need to last. We need to be durable and steadfast. We need to endure and persevere and persist. We need to stand in the last days. Persisting in the last days. We won't turn there again, but this morning we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 14, where Peter's describing the last days and the scoffers that will be here. And again, we know that we are living in the last days. Signs of the last days of his return. We preached this morning on the resurgence of Israel. One of the greatest signs, one of the greatest prophecies that have been fulfilled in our modern day is the resurgence of Israel. And them now, after 2,500 years, back in their homeland, having their own country. And this was prophesied to happen before Jesus' return. And we see that having taken place. Somebody pointed out again about Jerusalem and the embassy being moved to Jerusalem. What a blessing, our president doing that. And that's where the embassy ought to be, in the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem. And so, again, so much emphasis put on this small, tiny little country. So, you know, smaller than the state of New Jersey. And yet, it holds the focus of the entire world. You can't hardly go through a cycle in the news media where Israel's not mentioned, or the Jews are not mentioned. I want to remind you, as I did this morning, Genesis chapter 12 still applies today. I will curse you, curse them that curse you, bless them that bless you. And we need to stay behind and uphold Israel. And in order to receive the blessings of God on our country, we need to stand behind and for the nation of Israel. And practically speaking, they are the only legitimate democracy in that area. Why wouldn't we support them and uphold them and encourage them? And so, again, the resurgence of Israel, these prophecies are found in Isaiah 11. They're found in Ezekiel chapter 36 and chapter 37, found in Amos chapter 9, verse 15. In fact, Amos points out that Israel will no more be plucked up. They will continue to be a country. They will continue to be a nation in their homeland until Jesus and the Lord returns. And so we know that. But here Paul describes to Timothy the end times. He says, perilous times shall come. The word perilous, again, means dangerous. It means rebellious. It means, again, a wild or difficult times. Again, an emphasis upon selfish, just selfishness to the nth degree. Luke chapter 17, we mentioned this morning, the times of the end times, we would see, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And also mentions Lot and the Sodom and Gomorrah, and how that the end times will be that as we see that Sodom and Gomorrah was. And we see all those signs today. Look back with me in chapter 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. So let's just kind of walk through some of this tonight. And signs of the times, signs of these perilous times. Number one is lovers of their own selves. And again, I mentioned this morning about humanism. And when I was in the eighth grade, I use this illustration all the time, but it's still a good one. When I was in the eighth grade, I can remember us going to history class. And in history class, for some reason, they chose history class to show a self-esteem video. And in that video, you had a little boy named Duffy Moon. I don't know why they called him that, but that's what they called him. And he was building a rock fence. And he was picking up these rocks and building this fence. And some of the rocks were really big. And he was a twig. He was small. He was a runt. Though if you called him that, that would hurt his self-esteem. But he was small. And so it was all about him picking that up. And you can do it, Duffy Moon. I just remember that repetition. It was said the entire video. You can do it, Duffy Moon. You can do it, Duffy Moon. You can do it. It's all about, again, you can do it. About you and your self-esteem. And so as we have taught from my age on probably, and maybe even a little earlier, humanism has prevailed in our school systems, and we've taught our kids that they're number one, and you know that they sit on their own throne of their own heart, and they can do it their way, and all of these things, and humanism has prevailed. This lovers of their own selves means unbridled love of self. Kids are born with the my mentality. My ball. My doll. You know, mine. This is mine. Mine. That's on a movie somewhere. Mine, mine, mine. Mine. And kids are taught that. And I'm sorry, kids are born with that. And parents have to teach otherwise. So parents are the ones who teach kids to share. It doesn't come natural. We have to teach our children to share. Even when they're teenagers, we have to teach them to share. You need to share. You have to teach kids to take turns. No, it's not your turn. It's his turn. No, it's not her turn. It's his. And you have to teach kids to take turns. Parents are supposed to be teaching this to the children, and the schools are supposed to be reinforcing that. Amen. Hello? Supposed to be reinforcing that and helping in that teaching process. But today we see this. We see this unrestraint of children. Growing up having their every wish met. You know, I want that, Daddy. I want that, Mama. And oh, okay, little Johnny, here you go. You know, everything they ask for the most part. And what has built in our society today is a sense of entitlement. See, preacher, not really. No way. I don't see any of that going on in society today. You've got to be blind not to see our society and the sense of entitlement in our society. Selfishness to the core. We've raised children who've become adults who now believe they're owed everything. And they're entitled to everything. They even believe health care is a right. There's not in the Constitution anywhere. No, healthcare is not a right. It's a privilege. You earn it. Amen? You pay for it. College is not a right. I don't care what anybody says. Not in the Constitution. So it wasn't given to us as rights in our Constitution. It's a privilege. You know what you do to go to college? You work for it. Amen. Not a right. Healthcare is not a right. Hello? And that has led to this self-entitlement philosophy. And this unrestraint of children has led to adults who are self-indulgent because they lack self-discipline. Because parents did not discipline them. Hello. Lots of amens. This is a sign of perilous times. It's a sign of the last days. We're living in that day. Today. Participation trophies have produced adults who need safe spaces and therapists to deal with life. And we laugh. We laugh. But you go on the typical big college campus and they have these safe places and they have therapists to deal with children who, you know, children, that's what they are. They're not adults. Children who believe, you know, because they got a bad grade that they're you know, what have we come to that we've allowed this to happen in our society? You know what? There's winners and there's losers in a sporting event. And you know what? A child will naturally keep score. I don't care if they're 4 years old. And usually daddy is over there keeping score in kindergarten, but I'm keeping score. That's, even if it's soccer, they keep score. My Miss Cox, they keep soccer score. I get so much flack for giving flack to the soccer people. Self-indulgence. You say, well, preacher, that's obvious. It's sad. But what's great about it for Christians is it's a sign of the last days. And I didn't emphasize it enough this morning, but you know, there's a lot of positive to this thing. It means the Lord's about to return. And again, we win. We're going to heaven. Amen. I could spend some more time on this when I got more notes, but let's move on. Lovers of their own selves, and we see that today. Unbridled love of self. Number two, we see there in chapter 3 and verse 2, and for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. This is pretty obvious. A lover of money and stuff. Strongly desiring other people's stuff. Covetous. The proof of covetousness in our country and its rampant growth in the last 30, 40 years, the proof of that is debt. America as a country, trillions of dollars in debt. Now, I know that's because of our politicians, a lot of it, and their inability to tell people no. Because, again, they've been raised the same way. Everybody just gets what they want. Oh, man, I could spend a lot of time here. But we blame the politicians for the country's debt, but yet, you know, you got $20,000 worth of credit card debt. You know, pot, kettle black. Amen? So what we have created is we see something, we want that, we don't have the money to pay for it, so we borrow the money to get it. And if you're not careful, I'm not saying all of that's covetous, but if you're not careful, that is covetousness. It's like the young couple who gets married, and the first week they go out and buy all the stuff their parents have had that took 30 years to accumulate. You know, I would say went out to buy the 65-inch TV, but those have gotten really, really cheap. They might get one of those. Used to, they were real expensive, but now you can buy one for like $1.99. It's unbelievable how inexpensive TVs have gotten. But you know what I'm saying? You go to the furniture store and you buy $5,000 worth of furniture, and then you go over here and you do this. You buy the new car and you buy the new house and all these things. Listen, covetousness is a sign of the last days. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. We live, again, and my parents were raised this way. So it's not just me. I was raised that same way. Buy it now, pay for it later. And we as Christians need to get away from that. Again, we were kind of raised that way, you know, kind of live according to your means, that, you know, if you got the money, you can pay the payment, then do it. And that has prevailed in amongst Christians. And even as a child growing up, watching my parents, and what we have to do is just say in our own mind, that's not right. And we have to reprogram ourselves. And then we need to teach our children. We live in a day and age, I used to say 15 years ago, that you really needed a credit card because for emergencies. And if you go on a plane or you go out of state, you need a credit card. That's not true anymore. Your little bank card has a Visa logo on it. It has a MasterCard logo on it. It's a credit card, and you can take it anywhere, and anybody will accept it. And I don't care if you're in Mexico or New Zealand or whatever, you can use your bank card. There really is no reason anymore to have a true credit card. I know you can earn points, and people do that. As long as you pay them off monthly, hallelujah. But if you go a few months and you haven't paid that credit card off, you need to take the credit card and go away, right? Right? Some of you need to take your credit card and freeze it in a cup, put it in the refrigerator. Y'all heard that one, haven't you? And then when you want something, you have to get that, you know, that block of ice out and try to pick it away to try to get to the credit card. And by the time you get to it, I shouldn't be doing this, you know. We need to be careful as Christians not to be a slave to the lender. I'm not saying we live in a credit society. I mean, you're getting your electricity on credit. So we don't want to be hypocritical here. I'm not saying that all borrowing is wrong. That's not what the Bible says. But being a slave to the lender is wrong. And when you get yourself in such a place of debt that you are a slave to the lender, then you are in sin. And for most part, that's when the covetousness kicks in. Covetous. I do endorse Dave Ramsey. I think his program is great. I think as a Christian, if you haven't got a handle on your finances, I'd encourage you to get his book and read it. Larry Perget used to be kind of that same genre. And there's some great Christian guys out there with some great programs to help you get out of debt. And I'd encourage you to do that as a Christian. You should be able to, in your own life, be able to give to missions whatever God lays upon your heart. And if you're in such a place and you have such a debt that you can't not do that, then you are a slave to the lender. Amen. Get out of debt. Covetous. Lovers of stuff. We live in a covetous society. Number three. Boasters. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters. We won't spend much time on this one, but boasters just basically means inflated ego. It's a braggart. It's one who is full of big words. I think one of the biggest examples of that in our, maybe a little early than this is, you know, this group, but Cassius Clay, you know, Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest. But that prevails throughout our society. I'm the greatest. Bragging, braggart, arrogant. Again, I would just encourage you as parents to be honest with your kids. I think what's happened is we constantly praising our kids without any constructive criticism, and we let things slip. Hello? We do. I would say to you as a teacher, as an educator, that it's okay to constructively criticize someone and help them. Not everybody's the greatest. In fact, there's only one that's the greatest. But we live in a society where everyone feels entitled and there's not been a lot of discipline take place. It's the opposite of humility. The next word, proud, covetous, boasters, proud. These would be brothers and sister words. In other words, they're closely connected, boasters and proud. The word proud means haughty. It's one who thinks they are better than others. Someone who's proud, thinks they're better than others. A feeling of satisfaction with oneself. This would go along the lines of arrogant. In other words, someone who's above, feels they are above others. One who looks down on others. The word that John Phillips uses is this. He says, it's intoxicated with grandiose ideals of their own importance. It's a person who's intoxicated with the grandiose ideal of their own importance. You ever met anybody like that? They may be important, but they know it. And they're so fixated on it. And they feel like they're so important that no one can do without them. Man, there's great examples in history of this. And Hitler would be one. Once Hitler got in place and no one told him no, no one stood up against him, he just, boy, you're talking about crazy, mentally crazy. And we have some politicians, I'm not comparing politicians necessarily to Hitler today, I want to clarify that, but there are a lot of politicians out there who have a very much of a grandiose, intoxicated ideal of their own importance. There are a lot of Hollywood figures who have a grandiose, intoxicated ideal of their own importance. They make movies. It doesn't make them smarter than us. Or does their opinion really matter? But they feel they have an intoxicated view of their own importance. Let's get down where the rubber meets the road. We live in a society where our education system has not failed kids. You know, if you make a 55, that's okay. We just promote you to the next grade anyway. I know that's not as popular as it used to be, but it's still happening. You know, a kid who can't make it, a kid who's not making good grades is just told they're okay and everything's going to be all right. And now what we've created is adults who want to start at the top. They have a grandiose ideal or intoxicated ideal of their own importance. They don't want it to take a job and start to the bottom and work their way up. They want the top because my mom and dad told me I'm important. You know, my mom and dad told me I'm the best. My mom told me, daddy told me I'm an angel. I'm just telling you, we live in a society today where that is not the minority anymore. I'm telling you, and you know this if you do a lot of reading and all you got to do is watch the news. It's crazy what's going on. It's crazy. I even put an LOL on my notes. God resisteth the proud, amen, and gives grace to the humble. You want the power of God upon your life? You want the empowerment that God can have that can allow you to live a life every day that's full of contentment and peace and joy? Be humble. You say, well, I don't know how to be humble. Well, ask the Lord. Just be humble. Don't think too highly of yourself. In fact, the Bible would say don't think of yourself at all. That goes completely against humanism, goes completely against the self-esteem, you know, genre that we've been raised in. No, you don't think of yourself at all. You think about the Lord. If you have a proper view of God, you have a proper view of who Jesus Christ is and the proper view of Him, you'll have a proper view of yourself. You take care of others. You do for others. God will take care of you. Amen? God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. So, boasters, proud. Next word is blasphemers. Blasphemers. This is evil speaking against God or sacred things. Slanderous or abusive speech. Abusive language. And though it carries this connotation or ideal that about not taking the Lord's name in vain and many of these things as being a blasphemer, we ought to be careful with our tongue. Amen? I don't know where we got to the point where Christians are okay to cuss. I don't know where we crossed some line that it's okay for the Christian to use the H word and the D word and GD and all these things. I don't know how that came about. But it ought not to be a part of your vocabulary. Amen. Rough speech, vulgar language, gutter speech. I'll tell you where a lot of it came from: SpongeBob SquarePants. I remember that became popular when our kids were young, and I was letting my kids watch it, and all of a sudden I watched it one day, and I'm like, why am I letting my kids watch this? It is gutter to the uttermost. So I stopped letting my kids watch it. Vulgar. You say, well, there's nothing. It's vulgar. Watch one of the programs. Blasphemy. I got off on that. I shouldn't have done that. Blasphemy. I don't think SpongeBob SquarePants is blasphemy, okay? Blasphemy, rough language, it's using the Lord's name in vain. But more so than that, it's slanderous or it's speaking against God and His sacred things. And that's what we see today. The Judeo-Christian ethics are increasingly mocked today. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy to speak evil of God and sacred things. It's amazing to me that the media and others do not hesitate to mock God and the things of God. I stopped watching Saturday Night Live a long time ago. I've never really watched it that much anyway. I can't stand to watch those comedies. Because no doubt, at some point, they're going to make fun of Christians. And they're going to mock God. Don't watch their program. In watching them, you're supporting them. You're paying their bills. Amen? Bill Maher? Why would you ever even think about watching that? He's a God hater, a God denier, a blasphemer. Why would you think about watching that? But there are a lot of people watching it. A lot of people. I dare say maybe even the majority are right at it in America today who are blasphemers, who deny God, who mock the sacred things of God. It's sad. Laugh at things that we hold dear. Amen. They laugh at things that we hold dear. Well, what are you... Well, it's... y'all good? Everybody all right? Y'all came tonight. Y'all knew what I was going to speak on. And again, I think it's good to bring it up. It's amazing to me how the left can speak about tolerance, but yet if we speak and we speak about morality and the things of God, we're shut down as bigots and all these things. It's laughable to me. The epitome of hypocrisy on their end. You say, well, preacher, what should we do? My suggestion is what Paul's suggesting to Timothy. Continue. Continue. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't lay down. Don't roll over. Amen. Stand. Stand. Stand in the faith. Quit ye like men. I just think of John Wayne when I think of that verse. I used to love to watch John Wayne. Anyway, quit ye like men. Be a man. Be a Christian. And stand for right. Blaspheme. When someone in your presence blasphemes God, you ought to say something. Had a person here locally that loved to cuss every other word. I spent a lot of time with him. Some of y'all are laughing because you know who it is. And I spent a lot of time with him. He's very kind to our church and did a lot of things for us. Very, very much a blessing. But every word out of his mouth, every other word's a cuss word. And he would use GD and some of the other things every once in a while. I finally just said to him, hey, you can use all of the cuss words. I don't care. But don't take the Lord's name in vain in my presence. Yeah. I was very kind about it. I wasn't mad. I just said, hey, I just don't want you... You know, you can use all the other profanity you want, but just don't take the Lord's name in vain in front of me. And I'm thankful that he was respectful of that. And our relationship for the last 10 years has been, never heard him use the Lord's name in vain in my presence. Stand up. Say something. Stand up and say something. Continue. Speak up. The suggestion would be turn it off. Don't support those programs. You know, amen. The Modern Family. Why would you watch that? You're paying their bills for something that's blasphemous. Why would you watch that? Be careful what you're doing. What you watch, you support. By the way, what they get you to laugh at now, your children will not be laughing at anymore. Pray for revival. The hope of America is not the politician. Hope of America is not Trump, and I'm thankful for the job he's doing. But he's not the cure. The cure for America, the hope for America is Jesus Christ. Amen. The cure for America is to come back to God and to see and have national revival. You say, preacher, you believe that can happen? Absolutely. And we see glimpses of it now and again. And we've seen glimpses of it in the past. It can happen. Blasphemous. We live in a society who's blasphemous. And lastly, and this is probably the most difficult one, y'all ready? We're picking on kids tonight, because a lot of this has to do with, a lot of this is tolerated when the kids are small. And so these words apply to them all the way through us as adults, right? But the next one is what? Disobedient to parents. We got lots of kids. This Sunday night is family night. And I'm thankful for families who will bring their kids to church on Sunday night, and that we are not here on Sunday nights to entertain them, but they're sitting in a regular service, hearing the hymns sung, hearing the preaching of the Word of God. If we're not careful, a church to a kid will just be about fun and games. You know, they go to this program and that program, and all they do is sing and play and whatever. We have to be careful. So I'm thankful for Sunday nights, you guys, having your kids here. It's important. It's important. So as I say that, we have a society today in which we see this absolutely happening in our presence. Disobedient to parents. Kids being allowed to run the home. I'm still not sure how this happens. They're tiny. I've seen five-year-olds. I've seen four-year-olds run a home before. I'm like, he's tiny. Parents will say, preacher, what do I do? He's little bitty. How are you letting that little bitty guy and that little bitty girl run your house? You discipline him. You tell him no. You take the Board of Education to the seat of understanding and you apply it. It's still legal in America to use corporal punishment, folks. It may not be in the future, but right now it is. Praise the Lord, it is. It's still the best because it's Bible. And the best way to raise your children is to follow the Bible. This is our roadmap for life. The Bible says, if you whip your child, I'm summarizing, if you whip your child, he will not die. The Bible says, if you whip your child, you keep him out of hell. That's what it says. Proverbs, look it up. I love that. He will not die. May sound like he's going to. And of course, corporal punishment ought to be done the right way. You shouldn't whip a kid or spank a kid on his back or his legs. There's a proper spot. The Board of Education to the seat of understanding. Some parents get way out of hand with it. And if there are marks on a kid's back, that's abuse. Put it in the proper spot. You say, well, he jumps around. I trained mine not to jump around. I'm just telling you, I just trained mine not to jump around. You jump around, then we're just going to continue the session. And we'll continue the session until you're still. If you'll do that when they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, you'll have no problem when they're 12 or when they're 15. Amen. You say, preacher, does it work every time? Yes. Amen. Because the Bible says it will. You say, well, I get this all the time. Well, preacher, I've tried what you've said, and man, I've been very detailed with parents. You know, when you bring a child in to discipline them, you bring them in, you tell them what they've done wrong, you have them repeat it to you. What did you do wrong, Johnny? Okay, well, for that, you know, it's two spankings, all right? Give them the spankings and then have them repeat it to you again, what they did wrong. I always told my kids they had to tell me they loved me. So that's what my dad did. You know, you might pray with them as well. And take that time. But you need to train them. It's not about your anger. You should never whip or spank. And when you're angry, go make them go to their room for a little while until you settle down. Never, ever spank when you're angry. It should be a training session. It should be a time and you take your time and you go through it with them. You say, well, what about when my kid's 1.5? He can't understand. Yeah, he can. And you may not be able to verbalize reasoning with them, but you can verbalize reasoning with them with a little paint stirring stick. When they do this, that hurts. Guess what? You do that enough, they won't touch it no more. Amen. 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 How do you let a little bitty kid run your house? I mean, they're this big. They're tiny. I don't understand it. Disobedient to parents. We have a breakdown today in the parental authority. humanistic doctrine has produced humanistic children, has produced the children of today. Kids suing their parents and being allowed to by our government. The just laughable. You say, well, children should have the same rights as adults. Are you an idiot? They're this little. They got whatever rights I give them. I'm the parent. I pay the bills. Who pays the bills makes the rules. I can remember when my kids were small and I would bring a family in to help them with, you know, disciplining their kids and try to lay it out for them. And I this was said to me more than one occasion. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. When your kids get to be a teenager, you'll understand. You know what? Some of the best days of my life has been with my teenage kids. Honestly. We've had a ton of fun. We've had a few rocky points, but very little. You discipline when they're this little, you won't have that problem when they're 15, 16, 17, 18. I'm not saying you won't have any problems. It's awesome. I love my teenage kids. I love my adult kids. Hallelujah. It ought to be a joy. kids are not meant to be endured. They're meant to be enjoyed at every age. At the terrible twos and the terrible 16s. Amen? And if you'll follow the Bible, if you'll do it the Bible way, guess what? You can enjoy your children. You can enjoy that relationship with them. You have a friendship with them. You don't have to have a breakup when they're teenagers. A lot of parents have a breakup when their kids become teenagers. They break up. And then when their kids get about 24, they get back together. Because their kids finally wise up that mom and dad didn't know what was going on. Mommy, daddy, help. Amen? But you don't have to do that. This is such a huge thing. And I don't have time to continue this. The point, which I have like seven more things to say. But we need to get back to raising our kids. Notice the terminology, raising our kids. You just don't let your kids grow up. You raise them. You train them. You discipline them. By the way, none of that works if you're not an example to them. Amen. So when my kid's doing this and my kid's doing that, I said, well, maybe you're doing those things. It's not, you know, do as I say, not as I do. That don't work. You live a life before them. That's an example to them. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. By the way, your kids will know that pretty quick. Amen? I do want to take just a second. Ephesians speaks about kids honoring their father and their mother, for this is right. I love and you can get the book in our bookstore that we don't have right now. But it really goes into the circle of blessing. In other words, the Bible makes it clear that the kid is supposed to honor and obey his parents. If he will do so, or she will do so, that God will bless him, bless them, and give them long life. Right? So if you draw a circle, and you have honor and obey, honor at the top of the circle, obey at the bottom, you have blessing on this side of the circle, and you have long life on this side of the circle, your job as a parent is to keep your child inside the circle. Your job as a teenager is to stay inside the circle. The other little kids in here, everybody? Little kids, everybody? Look, Abby, I see somebody back there. Let's look over here. Huh? Yeah, good. Right here. How many? Yeah, Adam's looking at me. How many others are looking at me? It's your job as a kid to stay inside the circle, to obey your mama and your daddy.
Amen.
Parents, it's just as much your job to keep them inside the circle. Through training, and through discipline. If you will do that, the Bible guarantees, it's a promise, so it's a guarantee that your kid will receive blessing from God and long life. It's a guarantee. Isn't that good? Amen? And so we should, as parents, give boundaries to our kids and keep them inside the circle. We're living in the last days. Close my Bible. We're living in the last days. So what are we to do? Be a light. We're living in the last days. Don't allow these things to show up in your life. He said, from such turn away. Don't allow these end time things, these end time sins, to show up in your family. You know, you raise your children right. You be the example. You be a light. Don't allow them to show up. By the way, as we are living in the society and we are standing for right and we're standing up and we speak out, make sure we speak out in love. Amen? We don't carry around signs that say death to whatever. We're to be kind. Speak the truth in love. You can disagree with somebody without being disagreeable. Now, the left doesn't practice that, but Christians, we ought to. We ought to practice it. You can contend without being contentious. Again, we can love people who we disagree with, and we ought to treat them with respect and with kindness. Jesus said, love your enemies. Ouch! It's easy to love those that love you. But man, it takes the Holy Spirit and the power of God upon your life to love those who hate you. And may we treat them in love. May we treat them as Jesus would treat them. And be kind. Pray. Pray. And continue. Continue in the faith. Continue in the apostles' doctrine. Continue. Don't give up. The Redeemer draweth nigh. He's soon to return. Amen? In fact, as I said a few minutes ago, the last days, these signs are just evidence that he's going to return soon. Woo! Right? Here we go. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 160, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep our eyes on the Lord. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, who enables us to live a life that's pleasing to you in this current world. Lord, may you give us wisdom in raising our children and grandchildren. God, may you help us and give us wisdom as we deal with others who disagree. And God, may we be the testimony we ought to be in front of our coworkers and friends and family and neighbors. Lord, may you empower us again through your grace to do so. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.